Okay, good afternoon, everybody. It's 3 o'clock. It's time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay Special Budget Board meeting. If you could all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Your roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present.
Thank you. Now is the time for public comments. If there's any members of the public that wishes to address the board, now is your opportunity. We've been given 3 minutes. Do we have anyone in line with us? Okay, hearing none, I'll close the public comments. We'll go to C1, business and action items, fiscal year budget.
Well, welcome to the budget workshop for fiscal year 2021-2022. In front of you is the bound cover of the draft budget. This budget has been reviewed by the Finance Committee in their last finance meeting in April. We put in a couple changes and we are now ready for the board review. I will be going through the budget page by page. Some of the pages I'll go over rather quickly. Other ones it'll take a little bit more time. I do want to notate that on page 27, page 33, you don't have to go to everyone. I'm saying it mostly for the people online. Page 39 and page 43, I had an update. I found an error. I was able to update your books, but for any of the public that are out there, there's additional materials on the website that have the updated pages. Any questions on the format or how we're going to go through this afternoon? All right, well, let's begin. We'll start with page one, Discovery Bay at a glance. This page really hasn't changed for the last 5 to 10 years. I will try to get an updated census number if those are released at the time of publishing. I don't think it is. It will be, so we'll just have to go with that. I do suspect some of this will change as we start to expand in other developments that are pending out there. So we go to page two, page three, to page four, Board of Directors. I've updated, as you can see, the new Board of Directors portrait and all the board member terms. On page five, message from the General Manager. We have a new message from the General Manager. It's basically what we had from last year. Mike did update a couple items. I can leave it yourself to read it. And if you have any questions, let me know. And we will go to page six, the Finance Service Department. That's mine. Basically, last year our achievements, we had our annual audits were on time. We had a very clean audit. We had a balanced budget. We had sufficient reserves. This coming year, pretty exciting to be working on the financing of the D-Night and other water projects and working on moving the treasury from Contra Costa County to local control.
How's that coming?
I've written the finance manual. I need to get it formatted correctly and to get management, lawyer, and auditor review.
Great.
And I've reached out to our bank, and the target is July sometime to move.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Good work.
Hoping. Okay, so finance department, water, wastewater. You can see their key achievements with the Edgeview pipeline. The design for the denitrification is complete, and he completed the Willow Laguna underwater crossing replacements. This next year, of course, we all know it's kind of going to be a theme for the next 2 years, is the denitrification. And I'll be working with Aaron and Dina very closely at the updated budget for that. No questions, we're on page 8, lighting landscaping. I won't go through all of these. Items to note is that the Prop 68 competitive grant was submitted. We won't know anything until August and September, and I have not included any assumptions in our budget for that because of the unknown. We also have the per capita grant that we are applying for and that we will get. They're working with the Park and Rec Committee to decide exactly what they're going to do with those funds. We did put a little bit of money in the Zone 8 budget because we do have to cover 20% of the costs. We think most of the costs will be labor related, but we did add some minimal amounts for supplies, mulch, rock, those kind of things. Any questions? All right, let's go to page 9. Recreation Department. Again, we've had a lot of work done there. The pickleball courts that were converted, the tennis courts, and of course our pool that is ongoing. Again, there's been financially for the community center, we haven't spent any money, we haven't had any labor costs, and we need to rebuild the programs going forward too, which I know Monica is working very hard on. Any questions there? Okay. On to page 10, our district consultants have not changed. We still have New Miller and Beardsley, Ludolph and Scalamini, and Herwood Engineering. Page 11, district mission, vision, goals, and values. We did have an update to this, I believe it was at our last meeting, under goals where we added champion diversity and inclusion, and I've included that here. Going to page 12, the budget message from finance manager me. I'll let you read that on your own. If you have any questions or input, feel free to give me an email. Page 13, strategic goals. Those have been the same. And along with page 14, we'll just say those have been the same goals. On to page 15, authorized positions. Our authorized headcount of permanent position, full-time positions, stands at 20. We currently have two positions that are open, one for a water tech and one for a landscaper. Those are both backfills. And the hiring process is underway, and I suspect they'll be hired fairly soon. Any questions there? There is one part-time staff in this list, and that is the project manager, and that's Mike Iraka.
How is, if you don't mind, let me jump in right now. How is the recruiting coming for the person that's going to be taking Carol McCool's place? I know you've been interviewing.
I will, I believe that position has been hired.
That position is in the hiring process. So we still have references and some of the onboarding stuff that needs to be successfully completed, and if all that works out, we'll be bringing that person.
Is the person local?
They do not live in Discovery.
Going on to page 16, we've got a nice little chart here of our organizational structure. No changes to that this year. Page 17, salary and wages. These are all of our positions, and their associated wages. And you have them from their salary ranges. New this year, we did enter in the general manager line.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
In this, we take into account that the federal minimum wage may be increasing?
That's on our next page.
Oh, just a minute. I got it.
Yeah, these positions are not minimum wage positions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, one. Ashley, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
One more question. So it looks like 20's been our standard number of positions available. Do you recall what year it was we got to 20? I mean, has this been for quite some time?
This has not been for quite some time. This has been since I've arrived here. I think I was 18. It was 18 when I arrived here. We added an assistant general manager position, and we added a part-time project manager position.
And what year did you start, Mike?
I started in January 2017.
All right. Any questions on page 17, the salary and wages? Okay. Going to page 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the state. Now, in California, we pay the federal minimum wage increases. California pays way above those, but
yeah.
California does tend to raise their minimum wage if the federal minimum wage is raised. Anyway, this is what's on the books for January of 2022. And I have budgeted the part-time staff and the lifeguards using these charts. All right, going to page 19, the budget cycle. It's just some information on how we start and do our budgeting process. This is also the same that I presented to the Finance Committee in February about the budget process. And we are now in May, the preliminary budget presented to the Board of Directors. Okay, now numbers. Page 20. This is a budget overview. It's a graph. You're showing where we receive our revenue and where we expend our funds. They're pretty much the same revenue versus expenses. If you look at the top, you've got over 50% of our revenue comes in through wastewater. Most of that, again, is the wastewater service charge that is billed on everybody's property taxes. That's where most of the funds come through. We do get some other miscellaneous funds, but we'll get into those later. 40% of our revenue comes from water. Water, again, has an account charge that goes through the property tax billing on the tax roll, and then there's a usage charge. So that takes care of 92% of our revenue. The rest of it, we have 7% of our revenue for zoning. We get 1% for zone 9, and rounding, really pushing the rounding for the special, it's called administration here, but I'll change that. It's the special district administration, the revenue that we do get from the county for any pass-throughs that we have. Any questions on revenue?
Would that be like Regatta Park then, as an example? The maintenance of Regatta Park?
Yes. So say if we had to go buy a basketball hoop for Regatta Park, and we bill it to pass through. Yes, pass through. But it is counted as a revenue. So if you look here and see the revenue, the district expenses pretty much are lining right up with the revenue. 51% for wastewater of our expenses, 39% for water. Interesting, you know, we get 7% of our revenue comes in for Zone 8, but 8% of our expenditures. But we know Zone 8 is pressure. We've always had financial pressure on Zone 8. Any questions there? Okay, so we're going to our first department, which previously was named the Administration Department. After a review with the Finance Committee, we've decided to change it to Special District Administration. These are for the pass-through items that we have with the county that we just discussed. In previous years, the auditors were doing it a little different.
We have been negotiating with the auditors, and we are doing a lot of direct billing, so we're not inflating revenue and inflating expenses. We're making everything go be paid out of one place and be reimbursed there, so it's not any funds are inflated. With that said, we now just only have pass-throughs in the administrative department. We don't think we're going to make, we don't make any money. We just pass through the cost to get the money back. And these are for zone 35, 57, and 61. If we go to page 22, we just received the budgets for the special zones, and we have they increased the budget by an aggregate of $3,621 for this next year. Better than a decrease. Currently, we don't have any capital improvements planned. I know Bill has worked over this past year, and we'll continue to work with the county to find available funds to do anything that they need to get done in those parks.
Spend that $3,000 wisely, Bill.
$621,
too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, that'd be exact. All right, any questions on the special districts? All right, good. All right, next up we have water. For the members here who are not on the finance committee, I'll just kind of go through the format just a little bit. I guess I should have done that in the last one. So we've got an account code over on the left. I will be referring to specific codes, and I will use the last four digits. Hopefully, if I forget, please call me on it. We have the account name. We have the next column is the actuals for FY 2020. Those are the financials that Mark Croce presented back in March. We have what we have budgeted for this year. We have the actuals through March. So we have 9 months of data. And then we have the budget for fiscal year 2021, 2022. And oops, I got a typo there, I see that. And it'll be 2022 to 2023. Fix that column heading. You will only be accepting at one budget year, which will be next year. The 2023 budget is just a look. It's our first look at what that year's giving. But you will not be adopting that year. All right. Revenue, as I spoke about earlier, revenue in water comes from two main areas. If you look at the first line, account number 5102, that is the account charge. That comes through the rate study that we did last year, and that is what comes through, we get from the tax roll. Just a reminder, we get tax roll funds in December, April, and June. So we get about 50%, 45%, and then we get about 5% in June. Total revenue for next year, I have forecasted at $4.8 million. Pretty comfortable with that revenue. Our usage, account number 6,000, it's a little under what we've used so far this year, but we are going into a drought situation, which we're probably not going to be upping our water usage over the next year. So I'm being conservative. Accounts 6030 to 6047 are our connection and capacity fees. We only have 24 empty lots as of the last time we did the tax roll, which was last summer. So I just have 5 lots in the budget for this year. Again, as we progress in Pantages and the Newport, maybe in Chachini, those fees will be under review, and we'll have more of those in the budget. Any questions on revenue? Okay. All right, expenditures. We'll start with this page, and then we'll flip over to the next page. The first page here, you're seeing our salary and wages. This is, we budget at top step, So we budget at the highest salary, not even that that's what we pay. We do budget at the highest salary because in case somebody leaves, gives us options to replace that headcount. Over the last year, I've worked with the auditors, and we are separating out our taxes, our group insurance, and the amount of reimbursements that we get. So I have $608,000 for the water department for their salaries, and then their associated benefits, including the new 457B, which includes a 401A match. Any questions?
Julian, I apologize. You might have gone over this. Mm-hmm. So I understand the $540,000, which is our current. So the increase of 608 is based on filling a position or adding a position?
There's backfilling positions. We have a new GM, so we've given the board some options there when it comes to salary and for employee increases. All right. You can go to page 24. I'm not going to go through all of these accounts. There's just a couple of big accounts I'd like to talk with. And then when I'm finished, if you would like to have questions on another one, feel free to ask. The first account that I'm going to go through is account 7271, Consulting Services. Consulting Services is where we pay for our district engineer, Ludoff and Scalamini. We also have monies in there for our consulting services with the city of Brentwood for the groundwater sustainability that we're working on them with. $90,000 is for Ludoff and Scalamini, $50,000 for the city of Brentwood. We also have put in some funds for the executive search for the GM and any other miscellaneous small items, such as any HR fees or any of those small or little miscellaneous things. We do have some money in there, too, if we need to get a consultant, if we have to do work on a new building. There's two items that are new for next year. The first one is a capacity fee study. We haven't done a study on our capacity fees and what we charge for the capacity fees for new development and lots that are being built out. Currently, we have $25,000 in there for that, and we're splitting it between water and wastewater. The second, there was a request for a workforce survey to be put in the budget for consideration by the board. I put in $25,000. Since then, the budget amount has increased to $40,000, but this budget does not.
This is all under 7271?
Yes.
What was this last one?
How much is that?
What is it?
It is. There was a request for a workforce survey to be put in the budget.
What does that entail?
It is a study on.
Let me address that. This is something that Mike and I had talked about, and Michael as well. You know, we often talk about how over, you know, everybody is just maxed out, all the staff that works here. And so the question is, and then I also have heard, I think we all have, that for whatever reason, people, citizens of our town, think that we have too much staff. So the workforce, they will come in, they will look and they will see what people do, and then they will tell us you've got the right number, you need four more, and so it's working in two different ways. One, to tell us, do we need to hire more people, and then we can start looking to the future, what we can do to make this happen, but it'll also stop all the people who think that we have much too much staff.
For $40,000?
$25,000.
Not what I just heard. I just heard $40,000.
If I could. We put $25,000 in the budget. That was a guess. I actually went out and got a scope of work, and and the scope of work is $39,500.
Oh, it is, wow.
Yeah, it's that's an awful lot of
money. That is. That's a shame.
Yeah.
And this is a state mandated thing?
No,
this is just an organizational.
I will say, once that higher figure came in,
yeah,
that's a shocker. But when we look, when we start to look at the new building, we will be doing a needs assessment at that time. And that's and that will be incorporated in working with the architect and looking at workflows, and you design a bit building around that. And that's a time where the new general manager can do a deep dive with their people. They should anyway. I did when I came in. I did work essentially the same thing they would do, and reassigning people. And so that would even be the more appropriate time to do it.
Well, and then I think the other two thoughts on that. First of all, I've actually observed our current general manager make staff changes to maximize and optimize the skill and talents that depending mm-hmm. on where somebody was better at, to work with them, not to just to leave them in a rut or leave them in a place that they're not producing and move them to a position. So I think that's what is primarily part of Mike's responsibility. And secondly, we have a new general manager coming in that will make that same evaluation. So rather than pay that money for an outside source to come in and try to figure out what we do, or to pay them to figure out what we do, I think that the timing might be a little off on that, from the standpoint that we might want to wait till the new general manager gets here, figures out what is going on before he's being told what he should and shouldn't do. So it's not a separate line item, so it's hard for me to decide.
Yeah, it's in consulting account 7271.
Yeah.
It's in that $249,000.
Yeah.
I would say at that amount, just let's remove it, and then let's look. If built into the amount for the new building is the architecture assessments and needs assessment. So, I mean, it's covered there. And then if we need to add more money later, we can.
I told you, Mike, the new building went into the $3 million in the Ox did, so you guys are going to be working underwater for a while. Get a snorkel.
So, just for the record, I am going to take out the workforce survey out of the budget.
Okay.
Only $25,000 between the two. Okay.
And if we think we need something like that, I think probably bringing it to Finance Committee for evaluation prior to it getting to this point would be a good idea, because haven't heard anything about it in finance. We didn't know anything about it. So, and then we can have an open discussion about it from the board before it gets into a document that's going to be published.
Okay. All right. One of the requests from the Finance Committee was to combine all the expense accounts that we have with Veolia, and I will be doing that. I'm unable to do it on the preliminary documents because I need to move some history and do a lot of housekeeping to take it. We have 6 accounts with Veolia. It's account number 7272 is the largest account, and that's right under consulting services. That's the water service account. The total that I have in the budget for Veolia in all of the accounts, including that account, is $832,500.
Just on the water side?
Just on the water side. Now, since we're talking about it, I'm gonna give you the wastewater side too.
You said, yeah.
The wastewater side has 6 accounts, and we spend $1,351,000. For a grand total, can I round, please, of $2.2 million for Veolia annually. All right, again, most of the expense is in this account. I will bring that account and combine the other accounts just to make, for simplicity reasons. Spoke with Aaron, spoke with Dina. We really don't need all these different accounts. We are trying to keep them apart. For those of you that are new to seeing the financial statements, besides the water service contract, any account description with a dash E, that means view. All right, with that said, that's all about what I have for the water department that I wanted to point out to the board. Does anybody have any questions? Want to know what's in any account? Please feel free to ask.
What's 7376?
7376? Construction material repair.
What material are we repairing?
What is that roads?
Huh?
It's the roads. It's the construction material and repair. Probably should say.
Ah. Okay.
For repair.
So is that like when JW digs something up, we have to? No, because that's part of their contract to fill that in. But we do our own work sometimes, and when we have a leak or something, we may.
Correct. If we have a leak,
gotcha.
Service line repair permits. Well, not the permits separate for the guys back.
Gotcha.
And
that's it. That's in-house repair. Because when we get a quote from JW, it's complete.
The quotes for emergency repair is not quoted. So they give us a
sure.
For the work that's been done repaired, and then they send us another invoice for the road construction repair that they have to do for that hole. It's two separate bills.
But that doesn't fall into this.
Yes.
That does fall into this.
Yes.
Okay.
When we can identify it, we will put it separately. Also, over the past year or so, when we do a repair, instead of just drilling where the little hole is and just tapping it, we are doing, the repair correctly, replacing the line, so it's costing a little bit more, but they're also holding up and not causing other leaks down the road. I did want to point out one more account on page 25, if there were no further questions. Account 7536. It's called debt service / operating transfer. That's where we transfer the funds over to the financing authority for our bond payments. This budget assumes that we will be bonding sometime during the year and have one bond payment. It's very conservative in that respect, that we'll get the bond done soon enough to have the first bond payment, but I would rather be a little conservative in the numbers than have to pay the bond payment and not have any budget. All right, any questions? The Finance Committee was informed earlier, and I will now inform the Board, that if we look at account 7451, our insurance liability and property, we do have a 25% increase year over year. We are insured with SDRMA, and it's a pool insurance with a bunch of other special districts. We haven't had a lot of claims, but that's the amount they're going to increase our rates by.
It's 20%, is that what you said?
25%. I'll be able to true that up a little closer, too. I do need to leave some more money in there for any capital purchases that we had during the year, too.
How often do we look at that pool and make sure that's still where we want to be? Finance Committee, anybody?
In my tenure, we have not looked at that pool. We have looked at when it came to health benefits, and we looked at that last year, but I currently have not looked at this.
Are we required to use the SDRMA interest?
No, we're not. But those kinds of pools, typically that are specialty pools, usually are
more cost effective.
Yes, and they're in the business of dealing with districts. So they understand all the uniqueness of a district, et cetera. Just like when I was with the city of Brentwood, we were in a pool of municipal agencies, and that's what those insurance companies specialize in. So where we can insure things like our fire hydrants and some of our street lights and things of that nature, you may not be able to get that at a reasonable rate with some company that doesn't specialize in some of the things that a special district does.
Are there other pools that we could compare the cost with?
I wouldn't say no if we wanted to go through that exercise.
When we first developed a relationship with SDRMA, we did, this was prior to Mike, we did go through pricing options, and there was nobody else that was competitive. Mm-hmm. The other advantage is SDRMA also, it keeps an eye on legislation that affects us, how we can save money. They're looking, they actually look at ways for us to save money and things that we can do to save money. I'm never opposed to shopping something. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, but we've been to enough conventions and talked to enough agencies at the conventions that it's never been competitive. Hmm. There was a time when we were going to redo everything. Right about the time Dina came on, we were going to change everything. And we did the research and found out that there wasn't an advantage to it. Hmm. This is 5 years later. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't.
Just with Mike's comment about, we haven't had a lot of claims, but there's been a lot of claims, obviously, in the pool, and so it's going up 20%. You know, I don't know if we would find that everywhere, but...
I believe we would.
Are there any pools that have a few claims like we do?
The other thing is that we get certain training through them, this district-specific leadership and things of that nature, that they work very well and integrated with the California Special Districts Association. Mm-hmm. So there's a unique, there's a relationship that takes place there that has advantages to it on top of just the cost of insurance.
Yeah, and if I may speak, we also carry our workers' comp insurance through SDRMA. We receive a discount for that. And there's also safety training and safety credits that we get. We get credits for being a platinum district. We get credits mm-hmm. for the board and the staff taking classes and continuing education mm-hmm. and having safety programs. Maddie keeps track of that. And I don't have the exact number. I can bring it to one of the board members or maybe put on an email. It's quite a nice credit at the end of the day that we mm-hmm. get.
Is there anything else we can do to get more credits?
We've maximized them for the last 2 years that I've been here, and I think prior to that it was maximized too.
We even won an award for our attention to risk management.
So are you done with water?
I've done the wrong.
You want me? Speaking of water, are you? Just a quick question that came to mind based on some things we've talked about lately, and I see that we have building rent built into both water and wastewater. I imagine that's what the board pays for using this facility. Is that what that building rent is?
That is correct.
Okay, so then if we do something over and above having our meetings here, in other words, if that we have a rent structure, like for the event we're talking about doing sometime in September, do we charging the district rent for that event? Was that on your
I do not believe that was on the budget, but that is something we can discuss, yeah.
I'm just curious whether...
No, I don't think it was. It was not in the
budget. The rent we pay is for the use of the community center, and that's been so far all-inclusive.
That's what I was going to say, is that...
It's all-inclusive.
Yeah, that would make sense. It's just a yearly fee based on the amount of days that we typically would use it, and then... No, yeah, that's good.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions on water? Let's go to page 26. This is our capital improvements, what we plan on spending this next year. I'll take you through the couple of the, well, there's not that many on here, kind of, these are summaries. The first line, it's account code 1156. $1,248,000. That's for well 8. The upgrades and maintenance, the majority of that $755,000 is $660,000 for the filter repair at Newport and Willow treatment plants. And then the next line, the water distribution pipeline, we've got $250,000 in there for cathodic protection and $500,000 to start on the pipeline replacement. Coming down to the bottom, $372,000. that is, there are assets in water and wastewater that they share. So we have, if we could put it in water, we put it in water. If it's wastewater, we put it in wastewater. But something like a building is a shared asset. So the current split between water and wastewater is 40-60. And that at $372,000 represents approximately 40% the cost of a new building to start on it. Detailed capital listing is on page 46, but that's the summary of what we've got. The next page, 27, is one of the pages that I updated for anybody that's on the phone. What this is a fund summary. And what I'm doing is taking the reserve balance and running the activity through it. So putting in our revenue, expenses, and our capital expenditures. I'd like to have you look at the bottom right side. You'll see a red number there for negative $750,000. What this is telling us is that our current cash is going to run out at the end of 2023 with the current projects that we have now. With that said, this is why we need to do a bond. We did the rate study.
Financing of some
sort. Financing of some sort, excuse me. So this is showing you that we do have some time. We can make it through the next year, but we definitely need to do it before 2023. And that we will not be able to, and that would be using up all of our reserves, and we definitely do not want to do that. Any questions? All right, next page 28. These are our water utility rates as of the rate study that was done last year. The rate study goes through fiscal year 2025. This is also online on our website. All right, that's it for water. I can go right to wastewater. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Wastewater, revenue is a little bit more of a simple model there. We charge the residents an account charge. It goes through the tax roll, like I explained earlier. And if you look in the 2022 column for account 5101, that is the collection that we get, and we get a little over $6 million. Revenue is also generated through connection and capacity fees. Again, we don't have very many going on the next year, and I only have approximately five in the budget. Those are accounts 6030 to 6047, different types of fees. On account 6015, there's revenue of $157,000. The only residents that are paid per usage would be our commercial accounts on sewer, and that mirrors their water usage. So they have a rate table, and as much water as they use, that's how much we charge them, units for sewer. Not very much for the to them is, but. Again, revenue growth in there, it's said it's in the rate study, it's about 1.5% year over year. We do get some miscellaneous incomes over the items over the years, such as when PG&E dumps into our wastewater drains, but I don't plan for those. When we get those, that's just revenue that we have that we didn't plan for.
Let me just step back a minute, just so I'm sure I'm clear. Sure. So when you say we mirror the water, you're saying because we have no way to gauge the volume of sewage, we base it on how much they use of water, and that becomes the amount that we charge them by volume. Is that correct?
Aaron, do I got that right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Which can be impacted by COVID because these are commercial businesses. So
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see what the actual numbers look like at the end of the year.
They look down.
Yeah, I can tell you just by the water usage monthly that I look at, the usage on the commercial side is down to the water. So I think it's down to the sewage fall.
So Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so water, wastewater, their budgets are pretty much handled the same. As stated earlier, water gets 40%, roughly. Wastewater gets 60%. Again, salaries for staff are broken up based on if we can, if we know a person only works in the water department, we will charge that there. But somebody like me who works water and wastewater, I get charged over both departments. These are strictly the wastewater allocations here. Again, we have the employee benefits, taxes, the 457, 401A, and then we have the reimbursements for insurance. Any questions?